Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. That's 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. In other words, it's still future. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now you can be seated. Father, tonight help us to understand these scriptures and, Lord, to take them and rightly divide them. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for it. Help us our study as we look in the scriptures. And may we have a clear understanding of the Word of God tonight. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we talked about angels in general. And I'm not going to try to say much about that tonight because we said quite a bit. And if we get tied back up on that, we won't get into the rest of it. And I was just talking about as a whole the things that they did. They're ministering spirits. They're created beings. God sends them forth to do His work. And the Bible is covered with them from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. And they've got a divine work to do. And I give you that last week. Now, I want to break this down in reference to this. In the book of Daniel, we'll find that there's two archangels mentioned in the book of Daniel. One of them is in this chapter. I'll give you the other tonight as we go a little further. But there's one by the name of Michael that we read about here. And there's one by the name of Gabriel. And all of you have heard of Gabriel and heard of Michael. And I begin to look at what they do. If you will, let's turn back to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, you see that? Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, a key and a word that I want you to notice while we're talking about this tonight is the word princes. Do you see that? You find the princes there in verse number 13. And it also goes on down and said some more about it. And you'll find, he said in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And then he called one of the chief princes. And then we get over into verse number 20. He calls it the Prince of Persia. And then you see the Prince of Grecia. Now, that's why we're studying tonight on the angelic beings and the angels, simply because the spirit world is involved. And we'll give clarity to that in just a little bit. But Michael is mentioned here in the 10th verse, in verse 13, and also in verse number 20. Now, there's some other places that he's mentioned, and I want to give you why he's mentioned and what his particular job is. In Daniel chapter 12, slide over one or two chapters, and in chapter number 12, the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and let's look at verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince. You see, they're calling him the great prince every time, which standeth for the children of thy people. And you'll have to look at that. He's one who stands for the people of God. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now this is talking about the tribulation hour. And Michael is associated with that. Well, go over into the New Testament. And I'm going to give you these scriptures so that you'll keep them in your mind and keep them with you in your notes. To the book of Jude. And Jude is the last book right before Revelation. It's next to the last book of the Bible. That'd be book number 65, would it not? Amen. And trying to keep that in your mind. In Jude chapter 1, only one chapter. And we'll read verse 9. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Yet Michael, you see that? Yet Michael, the archangel, that's what he is. Now that's why I called him an archangel a while ago, because the Bible calls him that. In Daniel, he's called the great prince. Here he's called the archangel, which when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, that's where he's mentioned. Go over to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter number 12, these are the verses and the only verses in the Bible that you'll find Michael mentioned, the great prince. Now, the Michael, in other words, some other names of other people by the name of Michael mentioned, but the one we're talking about here tonight, the archangel, mentioned these passages. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7. The Bible said, and there was war in heaven. Notice the next word, Michael and his angels. So he's got some, and he's got a group that follows with him. Every time you read a verse, you pick up a little bit more about it, and you understand a little bit more. That's why you compare Scripture with Scripture. And his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, you see the spirit world, and you see the significance I'm talking about tonight. We've got good angels. We talked about that last week, and bad angels, or good angels, and evil angels. We got those who are with, or God's angels, and the heavenly host that God uses. And the devil's got that crowd that he pulled away and had to, you know, pull them into it. Matter of fact, the key word is pride that caused the devil to do that, and the angels likewise. Amen. There's had a lack of humility. We need some more humility. Now, as we look at this, we find in Revelation, now that word Michael means who is like God. That's his name. That's what it means. Who is like God? Now, from what I found out of the book of the Bible, all the books, especially in Daniel and Jude and Revelation, we find that Michael is the angel that God uses. He's the one who stands against evil and fights the devil. He's the one that, I guess he's the chief one to stand against. He's the only one that God has that contends against the devil besides himself. So he's got a special job. You don't find Gabriel doing that. Gabriel has a different position. He has a different job. And so we find that God's got them in their own source. So you find these, and that's what I like to look at about what they're doing. Now, go back to the book of Daniel and look in chapter number 8. We've done gone over this once. I didn't mention nothing about it when I got there, but in Daniel chapter 8, I want you to go to verse number 16. Daniel chapter 8 and verse number 16. The Bible said, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulay, which called and said, Gabriel, you see that? Make this man to understand the vision. Make this man to understand the vision. Now, if you look at it, you'll see this is a different role than Michael. Gabriel is another archangel. And here he is. We'll find Gabriel doing a different job than Michael. Michael's contending with the devil and the devil's crowd and his angels. Gabriel don't do that. He's got a different job. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 21. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 21. You'll see what he says here. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or the evening sacrifice. Now Gabriel has got here, and of course in verse number 22 kind of gives you a key to what Gabriel does. Verse 22, and he what? informed me. You see, now that's the job of Gabriel. Gabriel is to inform. Michael contends and fights, and he stands against. And you see that tonight? You got to get that fixed in your mind. And it kind of hit you just a little bit. You already knew this. I just kind of bring it, shocking it and jogging it to the surface where you see. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "O Daniel, I am now come to what? To give thee what? Skill and understanding." You see, Gabriel is to do informing, and that's what he does. And I'll prove that on as we go on. He does that in the Old Testament. He does that in the New. So go over to the book of Luke. And I know, I guess you've studied on these things before, and I don't want to take too much time in doing all this, but I do think it's important for us to go across something like this every once in a while. In Luke chapter number 1, matter of fact, there's a lot of people going through life in churches up and down this country that'll sit for 40 and 50 years and 60 years on a church pew and never hear what we're talking about tonight. That's surprising. My grandmother, dear old sweet soul, she's going on to meet the Lord, but she used to say, "Look up in the sky." Now, I took a lot of listening to my grandmother. I loved her. And she had some good things to say. We'd go over to her house and she'd say, "Y'all okay? Y'all all right? You need any more kibber?" She called it cover, you know. Instead of cover, she called it kibber. Amen. And said, "I'll get you some more kibber to kibber you up with." And they'd put so many old quilts on us we couldn't move. But anyhow, I remember that. But my grandmother, she said, "Look up at the sky. You see them stars up there?" And I'd say, "Yes." And she'd say, "That's the saints of God. That's what we'll be. When we die, we'll be shining like the stars. And we'll be stars one of these days." And actually, I believe that. It wasn't until I learned something about the Word of God that I found out we're going to be more than stars. Amen. We're going to have glorified bodies. The stars are out there. They'll still be stars, but we won't be one of them. Amen. Think about that. And so she'd gone to church, and she talked, you know, told us all, some of us, about God. I mean, she wasn't versed in the Bible real deep. And you'd be surprised that the people today in our churches don't know much more than that either. So it's very important for us to look at this. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 19, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am," who? "Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to" what? "Speak unto thee," and to what? "Show thee these glad tidings." I told you, he's a man, or the angel, he's an archangel that God has sent to inform. Now that's the difference in the jobs of Gabriel and the job of Michael. And it's important for us to keep this going. Now look in verse number 26. This is when he was talking to Zacharias. And you remember about John the Baptist. But in verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And you see, he's come to what? Inform her. He's fixing to tell her that she is going to bring forth a child. So his job is to inform. You don't find anywhere that Gabriel fights against the devil. Amen. He does. Listen, I'm glad tonight that God's got his own crowd to do his own jobs, and he's got them set out for it. And we need to keep that in mind. So that's the job of Gabriel. And you've got the job of Michael. Now, if you will, and we've always said that there's three archangels and people just title them that way, we do know that Michael's called an archangel. And I could go into this. Now, I was reading and I've studied quite a bit about all this down through the years. Now, the Jewish people have got some books and they'll go back and tell you there's seven archangels. And I'm not getting into that. You know why I'm not getting into that? Because I don't have no Bible for none of it. Amen. If I had some Bible for it, I'd get into it. So, in case somebody ever says that there's more, amen, you just say, well, some people teach that there are more, but our Bible does not teach that, and I believe God would let us see that if He'd wanted us to teach that. Now, let's go to the book of Isaiah, There is one more that we call an archangel, but he's not an archangel now, but he was at one time. And here's the only time that he's mentioned in the Bible with this particular name. Isaiah chapter number 14. You know what I'm fixing to say, but I wanted to show you in the Bible. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, this is the only place in the Bible that he's mentioned in this name. He's mentioned throughout the Bible. He's mentioned in the first book of the Bible as the old serpent. Amen. And so anyhow, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven? So we know Lucifer is fixed to be mentioned here. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? And you'll find that this is a scripture here showing where he's been cast out. We won't get into that tonight, but there is a study in the book of Ezekiel and in the book of Isaiah here in the 14th chapter that you can find what caused Satan to fall. Matter of fact, we'll just go ahead and read this much of it and see what happened. He was called the Son of the Morning. Amen. That's at one time. And he was, and if you will, he was very, very, and other places tough. He was very, I suppose, beautiful in a sense. Verse number 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, and here's his problem he got into, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He had an I problem. Pride got in and he's going to take over God. And that's what happened to him here. He said he's going to do it. But the Bible said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. He's wanting to go to the sides of the north, but he's headed to the sides of the pit. And one of these days in the pit. Amen? Now keep that in mind. It's wonderful to study the Word of God. I just driving up the road and thought of something this afternoon, or was on the way to church, it hit me. Thinking about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are so precious. And I want to interject this and put this in right here before we take off with a little study. We won't get as far as I thought I'd go and get tonight. I'm not going to apologize for that because I always want to take what we need to do and do it. But coming up the road, I was thinking about this. Have you ever thought about the first words of Jesus? What was the first words Jesus said? You don't find him saying, you know, when kids speak as babies, you know, they'll say mama or daddy, and then mama gloats because the baby said mama all her days, you know. Or if he says daddy, mama gets upset and daddy gloats over it because it said dad, you know, amen. They like that. And so on and so forth. But we don't find anything about what Jesus said as a child, as a baby, until he was 12 years old. What did he say? I must be about what? My Father's business. Now, what was the last words of his ministry? What was it? On the cross of Calvary. It is finished. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And then on Calvary, he said, I finished the business. And then I thought about in his earthly ministry, the first words that he said in his ministry, early ministry. You don't find anything about it, you know. He's going down John the Baptist, you know. We find him down there, and of course he tells them to abide with him and everything. But then they baptize him, and he goes out in the wilderness. He's out there and tempted, and he said, "It is written." And brother, he put the devil on the run with that. And then at the end of his ministry, I'm not talking about his giving himself on the cross, but even after his resurrection, before he ascended back into heaven, what did he say? Tarry ye here, tarry, till you get the power. Brother, he wanted to do that. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, now that's what we need to be looking at those things today. But the devil, the Lucifer, he's only mentioned one time in the Bible. He's not Lucifer now, he's the devil. He's the serpent, the old serpent. He's a Apollyon. We give you other names for him tonight, but he's the devil. And he's got his little cohorts that runs with him. Now, going back to the book of, we won't have to go back to the book of Daniel right now, but let me give you something else in the spirit world and in the angelic world that sometimes used to blow my little brain. I couldn't figure it out. I'd hear the preachers talk about the cherubim and the seraphim. Amen. And when he did, I just kind of passed it off because I didn't know what that was. And I'd leave it alone. But then I got to looking at it in the Bible. And I want to run a little bit on that tonight and just clarify what the seraphim and the cherubim is. What they look like. Get them fixed in your mind. Do you believe in the cherubim or the cherubim? Yes, I do. Do you believe there's such a thing as a seraphim? Yes, I do. Why? Because the Bible calls them. Now let's go back, the first mention of this, and they've got jobs. Listen, the cherubim and the seraphim have separate jobs just like Michael and Gabriel have. Had you ever stopped to think about that? Let's go back and look at Genesis, please. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, we'll go to Genesis chapter number 3, and verse number 24, this is the first mention of the word cherubim, or cherubims, ever how you want to pronounce it. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, so he drove out the man, he run him out, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. Now that's plural, you see that? And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now here's the cherubims, and we look at them here. And we see, first of all, that he's got they got flaming swords. And they're turning every way to protect. So they're turning. They're not just standing there with swords in their hand, they're turning. You understand that? Or that you couldn't get back through. God said, I will not have man to come back in, eat of the tree of life, and live in his sin. I'm going to protect him from doing that. Amen. There wouldn't be no hope for him. And so God said, I'm going to fix that for him. So that's one of the jobs of the cherubim. He's to guard. Now, that's basically what his job really is. His job is to guard. He's much like Michael. Oh, the cherubims are much like Michael. Now, how do you picture this? I look at it and said, and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So what is the cherubim? You don't find anything about it here that describes what a cherubim looks like, do you? So if you're looking at that and you didn't know, you said, what in the world is a cherubim? And we're going to go on back and look at some other things. Let's go over now to the book of Exodus. Slide over to the book of Exodus, the next book. And let's go to chapter number 25. Exodus chapter number 25. Now anybody that's been studying your Bible for a long time automatically knows when you get to the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus, you're going to start finding where they're fixing to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle is fixing to be built in the wilderness. The one in the wilderness is fixing to be prepared. It starts with the 25th chapter. So when you get to chapter 25, you can automatically know that that's where we're headed. And the cherubim is used there the next time. Look in verse number 20. Exodus 25 and 20. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings. Now we know they got wings. We've already found that out because they got a flaming sword. Now they got the flaming sword and they're turning, but we didn't know there's wings, but they do have wings. You see that? They've got wings. So then, and the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. Now we have already known that from previous times in studying and preaching the Word of God, how that the cherubims had their wings and they were over the mercy seat. And what are they doing? They're guarding. You see? They're there. That's what they guarded the people from coming in. You know, from in the Garden of Eden and eating the wrong tree. It said here they're covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. They're facing each other. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Now that's how they are. They got wings now. We've got that much that we're beginning to learn a little bit more about them. And they're stretched forth their wings, and they're facing each other. Look in verse number 22. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between. God said, I'm going to be working between the two cherubims. That's where God is. That's where they meet, where God met the priest. He met the man that's going to offer the sacrifice. Between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So they're overlooking and guarding the mercy seat. And that is a title where God met with the people. They guarded the entrance to God, you see. And that's their job. They do that. And now go over to chapter 26 of the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 26 and verse number 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twine linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. Now they made them. They didn't have cherubims that God sent forth, and neither did they have them over the mercy seat. God instituted these live cherubims at the Garden of Eden. Remember that. But now when they made the tabernacle, they made replicas of that, is what they did. Wasn't live cherubims there, but this types of replicas guarding that. And so now we find that they're putting them in the work, in the cunning work. They put that in there and made that in the fabrics. And that's what it was. When you go to chapter 26 and verse number 31, you find some more about the cherubims. We're beginning to learn a little bit about them. Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen of cunning work. With cherubim shall it be made. The veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And in other words, man had to go behind the veil. And that's where the cherubims were over the mercy seat. But they had works of cherubims in that veil. You see that? And which is representing that God is protected and taken care of. And it shows that it's holy. And this is a place that man's not welcome except with blood. When you get over a little further in the book of Exodus, you'll find some more. I'm just going to give you a few more. And the cherubims mention a lot more than seraphim. But in chapter 36, verse number 8, and every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twine linen and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims of cunning work made he them. This is a sacred item that they put inside that tabernacle. And also verse 35 of that same chapter. And he made a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen with cherubims made he it of cunning work. Now, let's go to chapter 37. In chapter 37, each time we find something different about them that we can add to them. What we found now, they had flaming swords and they would turn around and round and round at the Garden of Eden. Now we found that they have wings and they look over the mercy seat and they face each other. Amen, they're winged creatures. And now we get to chapter number 37 and verse number 7. And he made two cherubims of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them. Now gold represents deity and honor and glory, and they're holy. That's what they're trying to tell you. But they beat these out of one piece. One piece. And he made two cherubims of gold, beaten out of one piece, made he them on the two ends of the mercy seat. Put one on each end. And I can give you on, and I'll just rush it on to save a little time. They beat them out of one piece. They face each other. They're on the mercy seat. And they cover a space of 30 feet. I can give you that out of 2 Chronicles. When they built the tabernacle, not the tabernacle, but the temple. They're 30 feet. Each one of them covered a space of 15 feet. How about that? Facing each other, the wingspan together was 30 feet. Ezekiel mentions the cherubims more than any book of the Bible. We're not going to get any scriptures out of that tonight. You can go home and look them all up if you want to. Amen. Give you some homework. Help you out. Keep you busy. And keep you out of trouble. Keep you out of meanness. Amen. Looking up all them, you won't fuss with your wife and you won't fuss with your husband and kids. Amen. Just go ahead and study all that. And you'll see it. But it's good for us to know what they do. So we can come to the thought to say tonight that the cherubim is that who protects and watches over and guards the very presence of God. Amen. That's right. Now that's what they've been used for in days gone by. Now let's look at for the seraphim just for a moment. The seraphim's mentioned in Isaiah. Actually, it's the only place it's mentioned is in Isaiah. So go over to the book of Isaiah. We talk about the cherubim and the seraphims. And we've heard a lot said about it, and some of the old preachers back yonder years ago in the 1800s, I've read a lot of sermons about the cherubims and the seraphims, and they preached a lot about it. We don't hear much preaching about that today. But it's there. In Isaiah chapter number 6, let's look and see. This is a favorite chapter of mine. I've used it quite often, and it's good, and it'd be good if we could find an experience of something of this nature tonight. In Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the, here they are, seraphims. That's plural. One, each one, and you've got a footnote if you've got a Scofield Bible, it'll tell you a little bit about them there, but it said above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings with twain. He's got six wings now. You see that? With twain or with two. Two of them he covered his face. And with twain or two more of them he covered his feet. And with twain, two more of them he flew. Now that's an interesting looking creature, isn't it? Got six wings. Covers his face with two of them, his feet with two of them, and flies with the other two. Now you said that's an interesting, that's right. They're created beings of God's what they are. Amen. Somebody said he's seeing visions. No, he saw the glory of God. That's what he's seen, the presence of God. And he's seen that. And the Bible said in verse 3, and one cried unto another and said what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now the first thing that comes to my mind is what are the seraphims doing? If the cherubims are guarding the presence of God, then we find that these seraphims are glorifying God. And that's their job. And you'll look at it all the way through, they're crying, holy, 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 holy. So they're put and instituted for praise and glory. And that's what you find them in the Bible for. Turn over into the book of Revelation. This does not say anything about the seraphims, but we find an interesting look of them here in chapter 5, or a similar idea of it tonight. And they're not called seraphims at all. But in chapter number, I said 5, I believe it's chapter number 4. Excuse me. Chapter number 4 and verse number 6. The Bible said, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, calls them four beasts here, full of eyes before and behind, got eyes all the way around their head. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. These are what they are, the created. Now you can spiritualize these if you want to, but I look at them as being created beings, as God called them. And the four beasts had each of them six wings. Don't that remind you of something else we've seen? The seraphim in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, and they said, what did they say? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Is that not what they said over here in the 6th chapter? That's right. They cry, holy, holy, holy. And so they've got that job, Almighty, which was and is to come. So we find that this, and God has His ones to bring praise and glory to it. If man's not going to do it, God's going to get His glory from somebody. Amen. He said if we wouldn't give Him praise, even the rocks and the mountains and the trees, listen, when the breeze is blowing, it's glorifying God. When the birds are chirping, they're glorifying God. While you're grunting, griping, and complaining, nature's praising God. And God's got His creatures do it. Wouldn't you like to have a little bit of part of what they do? We're not the created beings, but we are part of His creation. We are to glorify God. Now, we find in the Word of God that Satan is classified as the accuser. Amen. But Jesus, thank God tonight, takes another position. He is the advocate. Amen. And He's the one, our mediator, that goes between us and God. So I'm glad as we clarify Him. Now, in closing, I want to go back, and I don't have time to get into another part of this, but in the book of Daniel, I want to go back and tell you why that I have chosen to study about the angels before we get into any of the details of what the 10th, 11th, and 12th chapter is. So going back and look at this, and I'll close out with this to let you think on it while we're going home. In verse number 16, it said of chapter number, verse number 13 of chapter number 10. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, the prince, Now, this prince is something that's come up that we haven't seen before. It's not talking about the king. It's talking about a prince. Michael's called a prince. Now, he's one of the angels or the archangels of God. So what he's getting at, the prince here, is the minister of Satan, if you will. Angelic being that has gone in. And now he's going to defy and work against the kingdom of Persia. In verse number 20, he also says that the prince of Greece is going to come. Now, Daniel's changing the subjects for a minute. We've been looking at these world kingdoms. You remember we've gone into detail about the kingdoms, have we not? The Babylonian kingdom, the Medo-Persian empire, and we talked about the Grecian empire, and the Roman empire. We talked about the kingdoms, and these are all associated with world kingdoms that have already transpired on the earth. And I've related to you how that they correspond with what's going to happen in the tribulation in the last days. But what I've been saying is, and what you've been looking at, is these are kingdoms of men. But what Daniel's trying to get us at now, and this is why Daniel was so troubled. And for 21 days he could not do nothing but pray. He fasted. You remember in the first part of the chapter, talked about that last week. And now we find in the middle part of this chapter that he's on his all fours. He's on two hands and two feet, and he's standing up trembling. Now, why is Daniel so disturbed? Because now he's not only seeing the kingdoms of men, but he's beginning to watch that the reason the kingdoms of men are doing so ungodly and wicked things is because the devil's getting involved. And there's an underworld. And a spiritual world is going to take it. You look at it in America, you may not see it tonight. But listen, it's not a political fight that we've got going on in this world. It's a religious, a spiritual fight. Brother, the things that's going on in America today, and not only in America, but around the world, it's setting the stage for the Antichrist to set up his rulership, and it's setting the stage for the Antichrist, setting the stage for the tribulation. Thank God the church will be gone, but it's setting the stage for it. And what I'm trying to tell you is there's an evil presence. I've said this lately more than I've ever said. It just looks like the devil stood out some word and sprinkled demonic dust on everybody. Amen. I've never seen the like of how people just change their minds and flip their wig on the things of God. And it's getting worse every day. Does it not look that way to you? Surely I hadn't been eating something that's messed my brain up and got me to thinking something wrong. I can see the wickedness traveling. People that, you would have never believed that people would deny God in America. Amen. And now they don't even want to, and I'm not even talking about the political world. I'm talking about people you rub shoulders with every day of your life. You're working on jobs with people that don't want you even name the name of Christ. They don't even want to talk about one thing about the Bible or the church. That's an illegal, off-limits thing in this modern day. Am I telling you the truth? And it's just like the devil's done it. And that's where we are. And Daniel said, here's what I'm getting disturbed about. I'm watching this thing. And here's another thing. Daniel has come to the end of that captivity. And they're able to go back. And he's noticed these people have done taken up the abode in the Babylonian kingdoms and the kingdoms that come past that. And they've got to just blend it in. And they begin to accept that, and they won't even go back to their homeland. Now, Daniel don't go either there for a period of time. But you got to remember, Daniel's getting somewhere close to 90. And he knows he can't go over there and help Nehemiah. He can't build too many more walls. His wall building days are over. But he realizes, but he's troubled his people. And see, God's people, those today that I've seen that are really dedicated to God and love God, they're beginning to wonder, worry and wonder about the church and the people of God. Why are so many people that's naming the name of Christ with a Bible under the arm that said that they're born again, why are they jumping ship and just letting everything trample over them? And that's where we've come to, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. And so Daniel's saying, here's what's happened. That's why I've talked about the underworld for a little bit. That's why I've talked about the spiritual world. And that's where we're going to get into it. The prince, the demons, Those demonic forces are beginning. And the demonic forces are working overtime in our country and other countries tonight to tear the whole situation all to pieces. Because you know why? The devil's putting his last efforts to try to dominate. He's failed and failed, and he knows time is coming for him to do it now. And if he's going to do it, he's got to do it now. He knows he's going to lose, but he don't let you know that. And the people, so he's going to do what he can. And that's why we dealt with this tonight, to kind of lay down the framework to show you that God has His ministering spirits and the devil has his evil ministering spirits. And that's what's beginning to take over in our society and in our churches. Hey, you know yourself, you're more bombarded with the demonic spirits than you've ever been dealt with too. There's too much out there that takes your mind off of God. Used to you didn't have it, now you do. Amen? Heads bowed and eyes closed. As they come, the instruments. I hope tonight that that's helped to strengthen and encourage you to a place that you'll be willing to pray and seek the face of God and make sure that you don't let things get a hold of you and turn your ways of thinking from the Word of God around. The devil can deceive. He's a master deceiver. He knows how to do that. God, help us to stay true and strong. There's anything I want. It's to stay true till God comes, till He sends His Son. Amen. I don't care if this is the only church taking a stand. I want to take a stand for God. And I'm not trying to be out in the limelight. Amen. We get out there whether we want it or not. But I want to be true to the Word of God. When Jesus comes, I want to be found true. There will be faith on the earth when Jesus comes. I want to be one of them that still has faith. Let's stand. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe ask God to help you tonight. Some area of your life. Won't you just do it?